Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. We agree with Peter when he said, "Holy men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." We accept what the Apostle Paul said, that all Scripture is God-breathed. We agree with the psalmist that forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Thank you for this incredible document that we have to look at, to guide us, to give us the direction we need in this world. Help us today. We ask that you kind of tune us. Help us. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 3. I'm just lifting out this section beginning at verse 20. Verse 20. Listen to this. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord." Roads are beautiful, aren't they, in Michigan? They're beautiful. They've just been wonderful. And I know our new governor, like I said last week, said that we're going to, you know, pave the so-and-so roads. Let's fix them. You know, like I said, you can leave Ohio and come into Michigan. You can be deaf and blind and know that you're in Michigan because it's the whole, you know, because everything changes. It's tough. They get banged around pretty good. I pulled out onto M15 the other day and bam, man, shocked me to death. I didn't see the potholes full of water. And man, it'll just knock you around. And so what happens is, think of the expense of cars getting repaired, right? You got to go in and get realigned. Well, you know, church is the same way. We get banged around all week long in this broken world. And then we're told to get together so that we can encourage one another as we move on. And that's what this is all about, is about getting kind of realigned. And that's what this portion of Scripture is all about. Paul is telling these people in this little town of Philippi to refocus, to remember something very profound. And I have five simple facts for you. Number one, the fact that he states. Get this fact, because if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, this fact is absolutely 110% true of you. You ready? "But our citizenship is in heaven." You hear that? I mean, there has been a huge change in your life, and you can count on that change. Like, for instance, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. What are they referring to? What is he talking about? He's talking about a whole bunch of things in your life. Like, for instance, the Bible tells us this. John wrote it. He said, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be an atoning sacrifice." Translated atoning sacrifice, the old translation put it this way. "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his son as a," here's the word, "propitiation for our sins." Okay? It's an old word. But you know what it literally means, this word, the original word when the New Testament was written in its Greek form? It means Jesus switched places with you. Our lives are a mess. We deserve God's judgment. And Jesus came here to exchange places. He took our sin and he gave us his righteousness, his position as a child before God the Father. That's an amazing thing. You're God's kid now. All that stuff that you're worried about you're going to be judged for, Jesus took that for you. He exchanged his goodness for your and my sin. He did that. And it's been this big change in our lives. It also says in Colossians chapter 3, something really cool, that our lives are hidden in Christ who is hidden in God the Father. You say what? I'll say it again. Our lives are hidden in Christ, hidden in God the Father. You know what that's called? Being double wrapped. We'll be cleaning up after dinner. And Debbie will say, listen, first of all, wrap that in saran wrap and then put it in aluminum foil. I want to make sure that, you know, stays fresh. You've been double wrapped too, man. You're taken care of. It's a beautiful thing. And this fact is amazing to me, that we are citizens of heaven. Now, let that just sink in. It's not saying that someday I'm going to be a citizen of heaven. No, you might not be a resident of heaven right now, but you are a citizen of heaven. That means you hold all the rights of those who are ruled by a different kingdom while you live here. Paul wrote to these people in Philippi, and this town of Philippi was a Roman colony in the midst of what they considered the crazy barbarian world. And the folks who were citizens in this colony had the full rights of the Roman government behind them. They understood exactly what he was talking about when he said our citizenship is in heaven. When you travel overseas and you've got a passport that says you're a U.S. citizen, they're going to be very careful with you. You want to know why? Because the full weight of the U.S. government backs you up while you travel. You all probably followed the story of Pastor Andrew Brunson, who was wrongly accused of terrorism and conspiracy and spying, you know, in Turkey. And they were going to put him in prison. They held him for 2 years. But the president said, you can't do that. He said to the president of Turkey, he's ours, and we're going to do whatever it takes to bring him home. And guess what? They let him go. You want to know why? Because the U.S. government brought the big heat. And they said, okay, and they let him go. You are a citizen of heaven, and that makes your life look different. You're not, like I said, you might not be a resident today, but you are a citizen, and that's a big deal. When Paul was first in this little town of Philippi, he went there, preached the gospel, a bunch of people believed, and then they got in trouble. Because there was this little girl that was using sorcery to tell the future, and she was demon-possessed, and Paul cast the demons out of her. She was a slave girl owned by these guys that would use her to make money by her telling fortunes. She couldn't do it anymore. She had become a believer and had been freed of the demons, so they freaked out and complained to the authorities, and they beat Paul and Barnabas and put them in prison. And at midnight, it says, Paul and Barnabas sang in the prison, and all the prisoners listened. In that ugly place, the boys were singing in the middle of the night. And in the morning, the official said, okay, let them go now. Go ahead, let them go. And Paul said, no. We are Roman citizens. And you beat us and put us in prison without a trial. That means the officials had broken the law of Rome. They want us to leave the prison? Tell them to come here, apologize, and escort us out, and then we'll leave. And they came right up and said, okay, we're really... And they got him out of prison. There was another time in Paul's life when he was in Jerusalem just before he was taken captive and was going to be on his way the next few years to his beheading in Rome. He was in Jerusalem and had brought some guys to worship at the temple there on the Temple Mount. And they grabbed him, and as they were beating him, the Roman soldiers came in and grabbed Paul. And they didn't know who he was. And they decided that they'd try to get information out of him by scourging him. And so they were stretching him out, it said, to scourge him. And Paul said, is it lawful for you to scourge a Roman citizen without a trial? And the Roman leader of that band said, it cost me a ton of money to become, that's my translation, a ton of money to become a Roman citizen. He had to buy his citizenship. Paul said, I was born a citizen. Man, I'm telling you, it matters. Citizenship matters. I'm telling you, no matter what you're facing, you are a citizen of heaven, and the entire power of the kingdom of God is attached to your life. The Bible already tells us that we have a guardian angel that beholds the face of the Father to care for us. Now, we're not to communicate with those angels like some people start worshiping angels, but you got people, man, taking care of you, and it's a beautiful thing. We have this. So this is an incredible, incredible fact. So that fact is going to give you my second point, a focus. The focus is we see our problems differently from this new point of view. I'm a citizen of heaven. We face the difficulties, but when stuff happens, we're viewing it differently. No, this isn't just happening to me. The world is not just random. It's not just a bunch of happenstance. I mean, what's taking place in my life right now, there's some direction behind it. I'm going to read you something you don't want to hear. You ready? Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. You're not going to like it. I'm just telling you, you're not going to like it. But listen to this. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. I mean, it's also been granted for you to suffer for him. Man, I don't want to hear that. But when we go through difficult sufferings in this world, we can do it for him because we have the full power of heaven behind it and there's a purpose. I don't know what it is. We won't know most of it until we get to heaven. But I believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. That means the rest of this stuff is true, and I can stand on it today knowing I'm a citizen of heaven, and no matter what's happening to me, there is a loving hand hidden in the darkness taking care of me. I believe it, and I'm clinging to it. Sometimes you go through stuff, you don't know why. My dad was always so proud of himself, the old guy, because Deb and I had rented apartments, you know, when we were first married, and for the first several years. Then my dad bought a condo and wanted us to rent it from him, so we rented it from Dad. And he said to my mom, he lovingly referred to her as Wheezy, "Hey, Wheeze, look, I got to get Thomas off the dime here. He's got to buy something. He can't just rent forever. So he came up with a plan, called me up and said, "I'm selling the condo, buy it or move out." That's what he said, okay? So I don't know if he looked at our financials or what, but Debbie and I had $2,000 to our name. That was it, baby. And he said, "Look, I want $2,000 down and give it to you for this price. You take over the mortgage. You still owe me this much more. We'll have to, whatever." He worked out the plan. You know, he's Hampton, so he's got a plan about something. So we held it for a couple years, and then we flipped it for double what we paid for it, and we built this house in Clarkston, and we've lived there for 31 years. Now, the old guy takes credit when he can remember. He takes credit for all of it. He takes credit that he got me my job at Kroger where I met Debbie. And then, you know, we got this nice house, and we've lived there for this long, and he takes credit for all that because he got me off the dime, he says, okay? Sometimes stuff happens where you find you've got to move out or buy it, right? And we think, what is going on? But behind that action in my life, there was the loving hand of a dad who loved me, who said, "I'm going to get this kid down the road here. He can't quit, you know, he can't sit on the fence forever. Let's go, you know." And that's what happens with us. So how do we respond? You know, it says when Jesus suffered, it says when they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Jesus entrusted himself to his Father. We've got to do the same thing, okay? This fact gives us an incredible focus. The whole world, they try to manipulate everything to get what they want. But the people of God know who really is the King. Daniel used to say, "There is the King. I believe in the King of heaven," he used to say. I'm telling you. That's a great focus. And then that focus, not only from that fact that gives us focus, it gives us freedom. And that means we can respond differently, not just see our junk differently, but respond differently to it. We all have the same kind of problems. In fact, the Bible says it doesn't matter what human you are, whether you know Christ or you don't know Christ, we're all going to have the same kind of problems, okay? Christians get cancer, so do everybody else in the world. The Bible says there's no temptation that has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, okay? It's common stuff. We all get it, right? The difference is how we respond to it. I heard a statement this week. Somebody on the radio said something about living our lives before the watching world, okay? The watching world. And I had a flashback to 1984 when my friend Francis Schaeffer wrote that, okay? I mean, that was his statement. He died in 1984. And we all miss him. He was a great Bible teacher. Dr. Schaeffer used to always say that there is a watching world. We're living our lives before a watching world. Let me tell you something. You want to have influence on your world? You respond God's way to the stuff in your life, and the people who think it's all random, when they see somebody that responds knowing where this stuff comes from and who's taking care of us, it transforms everything, and they'll want to know.
Do you ever hear the statement, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good? You've heard that, right? So heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. You're so spiritual, you become impractical. It's just, but you know, that's not really the way it is. The problem with us is we're so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. Here's the thing. The Bible says, be ready to give an answer for those who ask of the hope that is within you. You don't have to convince anybody about Jesus. You need to live your life out before them in your natural, normal life. But do it in your faith in Christ. And when you go through your stuff and they see believers grieving, but not like the rest of humankind that just has no hope, they'll want to know. You want to have influence in your world? This is the influence, man. I mean, it's really, really something. So in all reality, we have to keep our minds in heaven. We're citizens of heaven. And that focus, that fact gives us a focus that gives us freedom. Here's another one for you. This fact that gives us focus, that gives us freedom, gives us a forecast. It means this. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. We know how this thing ends. And the power of that, forecast of knowing what it's going to be, he's coming back. He promised. So much of the prophecies about Jesus' first coming that were perfectly fulfilled in his life 2,000 years ago, within those prophecies are also prophecies about his second coming, about his ruling the earth, okay? So that's all happening, right? He's coming. We eagerly await a Savior from there. Listen, it's not a political answer that's going to fix our problems. What's going to fix our problems is the return of a Savior who is going to rule the world. He promised it. And that forecast, we're not talking about fortune telling here. We're about knowing the end. Myron always used to talk about when you're reading a scary book, if it gets too scary, read the last chapter and they lived happily ever after. You know it. You can read the scary part now. You know it's going to be okay. So we have this incredible knowing that someone is controlling our lives. What we have in our lives, we receive from him and we live it out in faith. But we also know how it ends. That is so good. That is so wonderful. Not only that too, guys, as we grow older and we watch ourselves wither, we await a Savior who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Dang, that is good. Job, in the midst of his struggles, in the midst of his great loss and grief, stood up in the ash heap and said, I know my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. How my heart longs within me. It's all happening, guys. We have a fact that has given us focus, freedom, forecast, and one more, and we're done. And it's this, footing. You want stability in your life? He concludes this statement, even though they carry it into chapter 4. The paragraph isn't done until chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, to whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, this is how you stand firm in the Lord. How? Realizing that you are a citizen of heaven. And we have a focus and a freedom and a forecast. And that gives us a footing. Stability, man. You want to know what the greatest thing in this world is? People who have stability in this crazy place. People who live and actually experience joy in this broken, messed up world. That is like the greatest advertisement of all time for a living God. Driving down Main Street in Clarkston, there's a yellow house going almost, just before you get north of town. There's a yellow house. It's been up in the air for a couple of months. That little yellow house used to be a rental. They had three units plus a unit above the little barn in the back there. Fred and Dixie Kinzer used to live in one of them while they were building their house on Depot Street there in the old downtown. Well, they jacked that house all up. The foundation was a mess. They jacked the house all up into the air, tore away all the old stone foundation,
put in a big basement with a big addition. You can see the basement that, you know, is going out the back where they're going to build a new addition on and the whole deal. The foundation was a mess. So they had to jack the whole house up in order to put a new foundation under it. Can I make a suggestion to you? Could it be that your life is all jacked up today because God wants to give you a new foundation for your life? You're not smart enough, gifted enough, or rich enough to fix your problems. Nobody on earth is. I don't care if you have hundreds of billions of dollars, you can't fix you. There's one thing that can, the foundation of a crucified Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for you and was raised from the dead and offers life to any who believes in him. And he will settle your house down on a new foundation that will support it for all eternity. You think about that. Cling to that fact. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on. Let's pray together. Lord, you know what we're going through, and I ask that you will realign us. We need help because we need a refocus. Instead of thinking our troubles are running our lives, we start looking for your purpose and your help in the midst of the troubles because we believe you. Thank you that we are citizens of your kingdom, and that overrules any other kingdom because you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we let that all go. We stop trying to figure it all out or fix it all, and we are simply going to trust you and walk trusting in that. Lord, continue to change us, align us, help us to walk in this great truth. Lord, thank you that we belong there. Thank you that Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a home, a place for you. Thank you for that. And we look forward to that. As David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you that we belong there, but we are alien residents here. Help us. And we'll thank you for it. Bless my friends that are struggling, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that all we have to do is call out to you. All we have to do is put our trust that you died for us and ask you to be our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.